Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we focus our hearts and our minds on God's word. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today, for your love and watch care, how you work in each one of our lives. You are interested in each one of us. You have a plan for each one of us. And Father, I pray if there's one here that's not saved, that Father, that the Holy Spirit will work in their hearts tonight, convict them of their sin, that they might trust in Christ and Christ alone before it's too late. I also pray for each and every saint here today that, oh Father, that we will lay aside the busyness of this week, the struggles and sometimes the heavy schedule. Lay that aside in our minds that we might focus on your word, that we'll choose to serve you with all of our hearts and in whatever we're doing, that you will be first in our decision. And Father, we'll certainly praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to share with you a story that takes place in the book of Genesis, book of beginnings. In fact, this is a story about the first boat that was ever built. And it was a huge boat, and it had a big purpose. And you know, as we think about this huge boat, and by the way, it's not the Titanic, this boat is found in the Word of God. So here today, you sit back in your seats, listen very closely as I share with you this important story from the Word of God. And you know, as I think about a story, this is not a fairy tale, it's not a once upon a time, this is a true account that actually happened in the Word of God. So you listen to this important story. I think I have a stand here somewhere. There it is. And we'll put that stand right here. Got to put him somewhere where we can be out of the way here. There we go, and we'll see what Rodney has to say.
Oh, boy, it's my turn. I get to get out. Hey, that's exciting.
Hey, it's my turn. I get to get out. This is exciting. Good to see you. Oh, wow. Hey, this is exciting. It's good to be here. Wow.
Okay.
Take it easy. Am I going to fall? Nope. Here we go. Are you ready? Yep, I'm ready. Land ho! Get out the cannons. Fire one! Yahoo! Get out the sail! Turn 90 to hold it! Hold it! Wait. What are you doing? You said we're going to tell a story about a boat.
That's right. We are going to tell a story about a boat.
And it's got cannons. It's got F-16s. It's got a turbine diesel engine. It's got a helm. It has sail.
Oh, hold it. Wait a second. Randy, this boat does not have F-16.
No F-16? Mm-mm. It's not an aircraft carrier.
Nope.
Turbine diesel engine.
No, it doesn't have a turbine diesel engine, a sail.
No, it doesn't have a sail.
Cannons.
No, it doesn't have cannons.
A helm.
A helm? What's a helm?
It's like a steering wheel. You turn it to the right, the boat goes right. You turn it to the left, the boat goes all the other way.
Wait a second. This boat doesn't have a helm either.
No turbine diesel engines.
Nope.
No sails. No cannons. No F-16s. Oh, this sounds pretty boring to me. I'm going to take a nap.
Anyway, I want to share with you a story from the Word. Because God wanted Noah to build a boat. Because he's going to destroy it right now. It's about time you get involved in this story. This is an important story. God's about to destroy the world. He is. Yeah. All because of man's sin right now. Well, no. This is a story from the Word of God that took place 4,000 years ago.
Well, that's a long time ago.
It certainly was. But it's just as important today. The Bible shares with us that the world was wicked, unruly. They chose to disobey God and to sin against God and not to do what God wants them to do.
Kind of reminds me of today.
It does?
It sure does. People don't listen to God and do what God wants.
That's true, Rodney. But back then, they chose to rebel. So God told Noah to build a boat.
How come?
Because he was going to destroy the world in a worldwide flood.
Wow. Yeah.
The Bible shares with us that Noah was to build this ark so that all those who choose to believe in God can get into the boat.
It must have been a very big boat because there's lots of people.
Hold it. Wait a second. No. Only 8 people got in the ark.
Only it...
Noah,
his wife.
Yeah.
Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Uh-huh.
And their wives.
Eight. Oh, they didn't believe God, did they?
No, they didn't. They chose to rebel against God.
So how did Lot adult?
Well, the Bible shares with us that God wanted Noah to build this ark 300 cubits long.
Wait a second. Do you know what a cubit is? Neither do I. Do you have the calculator?
No, I do not have a calculator. Okay, I'll do it in my head. Let's see, you drop the floor.
That's 450 feet long.
Yeah, not only that, the Bible shares with us that it was 50 cubits wide.
Oh, there he goes with the cubits again. You got a calculator?
No calculator. Okay, I'll do it in my head. Let's see, drop the third, the tie, the...
That's 75 feet wide.
And not only that, but it was 30 cubits high. There he goes with the cubit again.
You got a calculator?
No calculator. Okay, I'll do it in my head. Let's see, drop the third, the...
That's 45 feet high, and that means 100,000 square feet, 1,396,000 square cubic feet, and a cargo capacity of 35,000 tons.
How did you do that?
Well, it's because I know dummy.
In any case, it was a huge boat for only 8 people. Well, God told Noah that he was to take two of every kind of animal.
What did you say?
Two of every kind of animal.
Animals were on the ark?
Mm-hmm.
It must have stank on the ark.
Yeah. In any case, the Bible shares with us that Noah was to take two of every kind of animal. First of all, there were cows on there. Hold it with the cow. A cow. You know, it's got four legs and it goes moo.
Oh, doldine! Doldines!
What's a bovine scientific name for a cow? Oh. And there are also horses on the ark. Hold it. Let the horse. A horse. You know, it's got four legs. You put a saddle on it.
Oh, equines.
What's an equine scientific name for a horse? And not only that, but there are also pigs on the... Hold it.
What's a pig?
A pig. It's got four legs. It goes oink, oink.
Oh, torsines.
Let me guess, scientific name for a pig. You got it.
Yeah, I know another animal on the ark.
You know another animal that was on the ark.
I sure do.
Okay, you tell us. What other animal was on the ark? Ventriloquist. And never mind. In any case, the Bible shares with us that Noah's responsibility, with God's help, was to build this ark 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, for one purpose, to protect and to save all the animals in the ark. Did it work? It certainly did. Noah did exactly what God commanded him to do, and God blessed him. Wow! During that time, they realized that, yes, God was going to bless them, and the whole world was destroyed.
It must have been boring on the ark.
Boring? Oh, no, there's a lot of things. They could probably even play cards. No, they can't.
Wait a second.
Why couldn't Noah and his family play cards?
Because Noah's standing on the deck.
Oh. And they can even go fishing.
No, they can't.
Oh, wait a second. Now, why couldn't Noah go fishing? They only got two lures.
Yeah.
In any case, the Bible shares with us that Noah was faithful. He did exactly what God asked him to do. And God blessed him.
Wow. Are you sure the ark didn't have turbidity flanges?
Nope.
Sails?
Mm-mm.
S-16s?
No. It was an ark for one purpose, to save the lives of those that were on the board. An atonement, a covering, that those who by faith accept what God's word has to say and believe in God, their lives would be spared.
Are you going to tell more about this?
I certainly am, Rodney. Why don't you say goodbye to these fine folks?
Okay. Hey, we'll see you guys later, okay? Wow, that was kind of exciting. The very first don't. Wow. Oh, boy. Hey, we'll see you guys later, okay? Thanks for coming. That was exciting. Oh, boy. Ouch. Hey, I don't them that way. Hey, we'll see you guys later, okay? That was exciting. Come on. Hey, we'll see you later. Bye.
Can't see in here.
You can't see in here.
There we go. That is Rodney. Move things around here so I can get around. There we go. All right. I encourage you to open your Bible to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 6. Because here in Genesis chapter 6, we find these words. In Genesis chapter 6, if you have your Bible with you, join me. Or maybe your app on your phone. Join me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 6. And here in Genesis chapter 6, we find these words in verse 6. And it came to pass when man began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. The Bible shares with us that the earth began to multiply. There were a lot of people in the world at the time. But we find in verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. They chose to rebel against God. They chose not to believe that God's word was true. They chose to ignore God and not to worship him. In fact, in verse 11, it says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Kind of reminds us of today, doesn't it? Yes, but even in the midst of all this rebellion, even in the midst of a world that chose to rebel against God and turn their back upon God, we find this verse. Look at verse 9 where it says this. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Isn't that a powerful statement? Noah's walk with God is point number one. Noah did exactly what God commanded him to do. And you know, when I consider the fact, listen to this, when I consider the fact that Noah walked with God, there are some conclusions that I come up to. Because in order to walk with somebody, isn't it true that you have to be heading in the same direction? Right? Isn't that true? In order for you to walk with somebody. In other words, if two of us were to walk out the door, and one of us was go to the right, and the other one was going to go to the left, how long would it take before you're no longer walking together? Wouldn't take very long, would it? You can't walk together heading in two different directions. It's just not going to happen. So think about Noah. The Bible says that Noah walked with God. So what had to happen in order for Noah to walk with God? We have an illustration. Even in the New Testament, the word is repent. That word repent means a change of direction. So that tells us that when we're born in this world, we're born in sin, right? So can't we come to the conclusion that if we're born in sin, we're not going the direction that God wants us to go, right? We're headed the opposite direction. We're not going where God wants us to go. We're living in rebellion. We're headed the opposite direction. So when the time comes when we see our sin the way God sees our sin, that we're born in sin, we're at war with God. We're not going the direction God wants us to go. But when we come to the point when we see our sin the way God sees our sin, and we choose to repent of our sin, that word repent means a change of direction, to turn around and to look to Christ and Christ alone. Noah came to a point where he realized, I want to be where God wants me to be. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to believe his word to be true. And I think there was a time in Noah's life, because the Bible shares with us that Noah was a man who was just and righteous in all his ways. He turned from his sin and he looked to the Lord. That's why God's word was able to say that Noah walked with God. The question is, are we walking with God? Are we headed totally the opposite direction? The other conclusion I come to is this, that not only to be able to walk with God, do we need to be headed in the same direction? But I also want to share with you that in order to walk with God, you have to be headed for the same destination. You know, it might be generally the same destination or the same direction, but pretty soon, if your destination is different, it's not going to be very long, and you're not going to be walking together anymore. You know,
I think of Scripture in the fact that Noah was a man who did everything that God commanded him to do. So did he. Look at it.
Here in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 6, the last verse, verse 22, says this: "Thus did Noah according to all that commanded him, so did he." He did everything that God commanded him. His destination was the same. Now imagine this. Imagine this. What if God told Noah, said, "Noah, I want you to build an ark." And Noah says, "You know, I get seasick. I don't want to build a boat. You know what? I think I'll build a high tower instead. You know what? If I build this tower high enough that the water won't reach, won't that be good enough, God?" But God said, "No, I want you to build an ark." Noah did exactly what God commanded him to do. Not only was he headed the same direction, but he was also headed for the same destination. And I'd also like to also say that in order to walk with somebody, not only do you need to be headed the same direction, born again, turning from our sin, looking to the Lord, but also headed to the same destination, doing exactly what God wants me to do, obeying His word, listening to His word, living for Him, and living in His direction for our lives. Scripture clearly teaches us about sin and His hatred towards sin, and that it should be our desire that we head for the same destination, exactly where God wants me to be. But I also want to share with you that in order to walk with somebody, you also have to be walking in step. Isn't that true? You know, I remember as a young father, my son, a toddler, 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, we would park our trailer at Walmart. And I would jump out of that truck and I would head for the front door because I had a purpose. I had a goal. There was something I wanted to buy at Walmart. And my son would be behind me, running as fast as he could. And every once in a while, he would say, "Dad, slow down!" Because I wasn't thinking about that little toddler behind me. I had a goal. I was heading somewhere. And you know, it didn't take very long that Caleb couldn't walk in step with me, and he was way back there. Nowadays, it's the other way around. Caleb, slow down. But in any case, walking in step is so important. I think of doctrine. I think of eternal security. I think of the deity of Christ. There's so many things that we need to walk in step to what God's word teaches. Because, you know, in the Christian life, isn't it sometimes we just like to walk a little bit behind the Lord, hoping He doesn't turn around and see the sin we're living in? Or maybe we try to walk a little bit ahead of Him, hoping that He will go the direction that we want to go, and trying to lead Him and say, "No, no, 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 Lord, we need to go this," when He wants us to go somewhere else. Noah was a man who walked with God. He did exactly what God commanded him to do. Let me share with you an illustration. I have up here some cards. And these cards here have animals on them. First of all, here's a monkey. Here's a monkey, and we have one monkey here, and also have another monkey, right? Another monkey, and we'll put him over here, okay? And I'm like, "Whoa, here we go." And what did Rodney call these? What was that, a pig? What was that, what's the scientific name for a pig? Was it porcine or something like that? Remember? Porcine. So I want to share with you that here I have two pigs. And I want to tell you that there's a pink pig, in other words, a girl pig. And there's also a blue pig, a boy pig, right? You know, Noah had the responsibility of bringing these animals two by two. There was a male and there was a female. And do you know why? You know, if there are two chickens came onto the ark and one of them was a boy and the other chicken was a boy, what's going to happen to the chickens?
They're mixed up.
They're going to what?
Get mixed up.
Get mixed up. There won't be any more chickens, would there? No, I mean the chickens would die off because you have to have a boy chicken and you have to have a girl chicken. And you know that's God's plan for marriage too. One mommy, one daddy. That's God's plan. But for some reason, people in the world today have got that all messed up. God's plan is one boy and there's plan for one girl. That they are to leave, cleave, and weave. And to leave mom and dad, to cleave together, and to pop. Republish or repopulate and have children, right?
That's God's plan for marriage. Anything else is not God's plan. That's sin. So here we are. We also have another chicken. Did I put them in the right pile? Yep. So we have a boy chicken. We have a girl chicken. And then I also have a boy elephant and a girl elephant, right? Because if there's not a boy elephant and a girl elephant, pretty soon there's not going to be any elephants, right? Same thing with cats, right? You have a boy cat and you have a girl cat. And you know, there are boy cats and girl cats. And in order to repopulate and to have more cats, you got to have a boy and a girl, right? Same thing with zebras. A boy zebra and also a girl zebra. And so I'm going to take these zebras here, put them on the top, just like that. And I am going to begin to mix them up, okay? And so I'm going to get them all mixed up. Can you tell me when I can stop mixing them? So I'm going to mix these all up because God's plan was for these animals, two by two, to get onto the ark so that they can replenish the earth. And there were boy elephants, girl elephants, and that was God's plan. But here today, we have a world that has chosen to rebel against God and not do what God says. Oh, can I stop now? Okay, so we're going to make two piles here, okay? So I'm going to make two piles. We'll put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. There we go. We'll stick them all up. Whoops. I guess stop at 6. There we go. And we're going to find out, did Noah do exactly what God told him to do? Did Noah obey God? So we're going to spell the words. Listen to this. I'm going to need your help, okay? I need your guys' help. We're going to spell the words, bring them two by two, okay? And we're going to find out if Noah brought them two by two, if Noah obeyed God. So I'm going to pick up a stack here, and we'll start right here with Lois, okay? You're going to start off with the word bring, B-R-I-N-G. So when I spell a letter, or when I spell that word, for each letter of the word bring, I'm going to take a card from the top and put it on the bottom, okay? If you want me to switch decks, you holler switch, okay? And then we'll switch, okay? Here we go. So B, R, I, N, G. All right? So did Noah do what God told him to do? Did God bring them two by two? Do they match?
Yeah.
Whoa, look at that. Two chickens. They match, don't they? Noah did do what God told him to do. So there's the word bring. Now how about the word them? How about the young man right here on the end? Okay, you got it? We're going to spell the word them, and you tell me when to switch decks, okay? Can you help me with that? Here we go. The word them. T, H, E.
Switch.
M. Now let's find out. Did Noah do what God told him to do? Did he obey God?
Yeah.
He did? Look at that. Two monkeys. Very good. So bring them. Now the word two. And you spell the word two, T-O, right? T-O. Okay. No. Well, the number two, this is mean. The number two is spelled T-W-O. I know that is mean, isn't it? I mean, Webster, he's just, I don't know Webster. In any case, T-W-O. Here we go. You ready? Let's see. Who should we pick? How about the young lady on the end? Could you help me out? You just have three letters, okay? You tell me when to switch if you want me to switch, okay? You ready? T-W-O. No switch? Okay, so did Noah listen to God? Did he do what God told him to do?
Yeah.
Do they match? Oh, two zebras. Very good. Bring them two. Now the word by. B-Y. Let's see. Who should we bet? How about the young man? Way there in the back. Two letters, okay? B-Y. Are you ready? Here we go. So if you want me to switch, you got to be fast. Here we go. B.
Switch.
Y. Now, did Noah do what God told him to do? Did he obey God?
Yeah,
two elephants. Very good. So bring them two by. Now we have the word two again. T-W-O. Who wants to help me out? Who can help me out? Okay, the second young lady in, okay? Here we go. So bring them two by two. T-W-O again. Three letters. Are you ready? Here we go.
T-W-O.
Now did Noah do what God told him to do?
Yeah.
Yes. Two pretty cats. Yes, Noah did do what God told him to do. And I don't have any more letters to spell out, but we do have one more set of cards. And do they match? Yes, they match. Two poor signs. Noah did exactly what God told him to do. So the question today is, listen to this. I hear some talking out there. The question today is this. Are we obeying God? Are we obeying God?
God's word says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to repent of our sin and to trust in him. Noah walked with God. He believed God's word to be true. He trusted in the Lord. He obeyed his word, and he knew that what God said was going to happen. Noah obeyed God. He listened to God and did exactly what God asked him to do. So not only do we want to look at Noah's walk with God, but let's also look at this, Noah's work for God. Did Noah do anything for God? What was the work he did? What did Noah do? Yes.
He built the ark.
He built the ark, didn't he? Yes, he did. He had three boys to help him, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, but they built that ark. Without the tools that we have today, God shared with them just how to do it. They had the wisdom to do it, the direction to do it, and Noah built that ark. And it's really interesting. Look here in Genesis chapter 6, if you would, if you have your Bible. Look at verse 14 of Genesis chapter 6. It says this, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Now, does that mean that he went out and tore down a bunch of gopher huts? No, but I don't think so. You know what I think this is? Scholars kind of differ at this, but I've heard some scholars say that they think it's probably wood that's been treated. You know, back then, I think our environment was really different. I think that the oceans weren't as deep, and the mountains were not as high. And I think the world was covered in what's known as a canopy, which made a greenhouse effect. And that's why people were able to live over 1,000 years, some 900, 700, 800. That's a long time. And I think it's because of that greenhouse effect and that it had never rained before. And there was not enough water even to float this boat. And so every morning there was a mist on the ground that watered all the plant life. This mist on the ground caused everything to get wet. Not only the plant life, but also all the wood that might be exposed. So I think gopher wood was just simply wood that was treated. They knew how to treat wood, because if they didn't treat it in that environment, it would become rotted very, very quickly. And I think also that's why dinosaurs were able to thrive, because there's so much vegetation all around the world. Dinosaurs had plenty enough food. Individuals today, liberals, and people that don't believe God's word to be true, their argument is there's not enough plant life on the world to feed the dinosaurs. They had to have so much food. But I think 6,000 years ago, because of the canopy and vegetation all around the world, dinosaurs had plenty enough food all around. Job saw dinosaurs, the Leviathan and the Behemoth, and I think dinosaurs were on the ark. They knew what a dinosaur was, a terrible lizard. They were there. They were there. And you know, even the Flintstones have got this one right, that the dinosaurs lived amongst men. They were around. I think Scripture is very clear. And so here we have a world, and Noah has this gopher wood that's been treated. And so this gopher wood shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. That word pitch is the first time the word atonement is found. In other words, the ark was a picture of the atonement. And Noah's saying, trust in God's atonement. Trust in God's plan. Accept his will. Step into the ark, and your life will be spared. There was just one door. And Jesus many times has said, I am the door, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the means of eternal life. He is our atonement. And the ark was a picture of that. And so Noah's job was to build the ark, to build that ark for the purpose of saving the lives of all those who enter, trusting in the atonement of the Lord. And so here we have all these animals, but there were only 8 souls that got onto the ark. Just 8. Noah, his wife, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You know, that must have been awfully hard for Noah. Because Noah preached for over 100 years and he never had a single convert. You know, that should encourage people today. You know, think about Noah. You know, I've seen many come to know the Lord as their Savior. And you know, there are times that I think, boy, you know, I know there's people out there that are unsaved, but they're not responding. And my heart grieves for them. But then I think about Noah. He did not have a single convert. Not a single one. Oh, his family followed. because he was in walking with God. He was a man who was just and righteous, a man who loved the Lord, a man who walked with God. But Noah built that ark. He listened to God's word. Let me share with you an illustration. I have up here a Bible. And you know, when you look at this Bible, and there's people today that say, you know, I don't believe that God's word is true. There's people today that laugh at the Bible and say, I don't think God's word is true. I don't think there's anything in there for me. I don't need to study the word of God. In fact, they look at the word of God and say, you know, isn't it empty? There's just nothing there. I don't need to study it. It's just an empty book. I don't need to study the word of God. It's not for me. But you know, the word of God is filled with so many wonderful truths found deep within. In fact, the Bible shares with us that although the world says it's just an empty book, the Bible shares with us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the sun, the stars, and the moon that's in our sky. And you know, all those stars, you look up in the sky and there's millions up there. And do you realize that God has every one of them named? And he knows them by name. God created them. And he named them. And you know, that's just marvelous. So remarkable to me. And the skies that we look at and the stars. You know, you look at places like how about the Orion? Did you know that in the Orion, the star that's in the upper right-hand corner of the Orion, the Bible shares with us, is 2.5 times the size of our rotation around the sun? That is huge. It's called Betelgeuse. And that's huge. And God created that. He created that. Not only did he create the stars and the moon and the sky, but he also created the fish, woodpeckers, the platypus, all those different animals that we look at and realize, hey, they're pretty special. They're pretty special. The woodpecker, think about the woodpecker. That woodpecker beats his head so fast that if he blinks just at the wrong time, his eyes are going to pop out. But God has it just right that they blink just right. And the shock absorber in their heads. If they didn't have those shock absorbers, their brains would be turning to mush because they hit so hard. It's incredible what the woodpecker can do. And God created them on day one, and they do exactly what they do today that they did on day one. God even knows everything about me. Scripture even tells us that he knows how many hairs on the top of your head. Did you know that? He's got them numbered. And you know, I am a living example that God knows how to subtract. Yeah. God knows everything. He created this world. And so when we look at the Word of God, we shouldn't look at the Word of God and say, but it's just an empty book. There's so many wonderful truths that are found deep within. God's Word shares with us that God hates sin. And that one day he's going to judge sin. And Noah believed that God's Word to be true. God told Noah, I want you to build the ark because I'm going to destroy the world. And you know something? Noah believed God. He believed that God was going to do exactly what he says he's going to do. And he built the ark just exactly the way God told him to. And God blessed him. And God spared his life. You know, don't look at God's word and just say, it's an empty book, because it's not. It's a book that's filled with so many truths that we need to heed, that we need to listen to. Verses like this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned against God. And because of our sin, the Bible says, he hates our sin and he won't allow sin into his presence. He hates it so much, you know what he did? He sent his only begotten son. And he died on the cross in your place that you might have eternal life. And you know, if you as a sinner were to realize what Christ did for you and repent of your sin and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin, you know what he'll do? He will cleanse us as white as snow. He'll forgive you of your sin. That you might have eternal life. And the promise is that if we accept him as our Savior, we see our sin the way God sees our sin. We trust in Christ and Christ alone. He cleanses us as white as snow. The Word of God proclaims and lets us know that one day we're going to walk on streets of gold because of what Jesus Christ has done for you and me. And you know, if we have that promise, we know that our sins are forgiven, that we are bound for heaven.
Shouldn't it also be our goal, just as it was for Noah, to walk and to grow and to live for him? Noah was a man who chose to serve the Lord. He believed God's word to be true, that God's going to do exactly what he says he's going to do. He listened to God, he obeyed God, and God blessed him. I hope that you don't look at the word of God today just as the world does and say that this book is just an empty book, because it's not. It's a book that's filled with many wonderful truths that we need to heed, to listen to, and realize God's speaking to me, because God speaks to each and every one of us. God is saying that we're all sinners. Not the one sitting next to you. Yeah, he's a sinner too, but he's talking to you, me. Say me. I need to listen to this. I need to heed what God's word says, because God is speaking to me. He's speaking to each and every one of you today, because we're all born in sin, but we all have a hope, and that is that Jesus died for you. He took your place on the cross that you might spend eternity in heaven. But if you choose to reject him, just like everybody else in Noah's day, remember what happened to everybody else in Noah's day? They all died in the worldwide flood because they chose to ignore God's word. I hope you don't ignore God's word. I hope you don't say like those heathen lost sinners in Noah's day, I don't believe God's word to be true. I think Noah's crazy. I'm just going to do my own thing. I don't think God's going to do that. And they all died in the worldwide flood, didn't they? Let me share with you here. In the word of God, the Bible tells us that people chose to ignore God's word. Let me share with you here in Genesis chapter 6. Look at that. Look at this. God told Noah. He told Noah something. In Genesis chapter 7, look way at the end. We could read verse 22 again. Listen to this. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. He listened to God. He obeyed God. He believed his word. But look at verse 1. Now listen to this. Do I have your attention? I am going to make a mistake. Now I know your pastor has never made a mistake. He's never made a mistake. But I'm going to make a mistake today, okay? So you look in your Bible and see if you can catch my mistake. Are you ready? Genesis chapter 7 verse 1 says this. And the Lord said unto Noah, go thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Did I make a mistake?
No. Yeah.
Yeah, I made a mistake. What was it? Anybody catch it? Let me read it again. Look at your Bible. You got to look at your Bible. Genesis 7:1 says, and the Lord said unto Noah, go thou and all thy house into the ark. Anybody catch it?
Go, say come.
That's right. There you go. Look at what, listen again. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. God did not say go. He said come. Now share with me, where does God have to be in order to say come? Where does God have to be? In the ark, right?
No.
He's got to be in the ark.
No.
Listen to this. God is not just some God way out there that's not interested in you and me. He's right there. He's right here. God told Noah, come, come. Trust in my atonement. Believe my word to be true. Trust in me. And Noah, for over 100 years, shared with the world that God's going to destroy sin, that they need to call upon the Lord. But they looked at Noah and said, Noah, you're crazy. It's never rained before. There's not enough water to float this boat. They looked at Noah and said, Noah, you are one French fry short of a Happy Meal. You are not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Noah, you're crazy. They didn't believe him. So the Bible shares with us, look at verse 16. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. God shut the door. And when he shut the door, it sealed the doom of all those who rebelled and ignored God's warning.
chose to ignore his word, chose not to believe in his atonement, and the Bible shares with us that they all died in the worldwide flood that day. They didn't believe his word. And you know, it reminds me of today. There's so many people in the world today who choose to rebel against God and tell God, I don't believe your word to be true. I don't think you're going to do what you say you're going to do. But God did exactly what he said that he was going to do. And after the flood was over, I believe that the dome came down, that canopy came down, the deep broke up, the water from below, the water from above came, and the world was covered in a worldwide flood. And when that canopy was gone and the sun came out, then Noah for the first time saw his first rainbow. And God gave him the promise that he'll never destroy the world again in a worldwide flood. God blessed Noah. Noah protected all the animals in the ark and replenished the earth. And all those that were destroyed died in the flood that day, and only 8 remained. Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives replenished and repopulated the world today. And did you know that with all the DNA tests, did you know it just has come out that the whole world has come from 3 women because of the DNA test? Do you know who the 3 women are? The wives of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And those 3 wives is what replenished the world today. The whole world has come from those 3. And we know that those 3 came from Adam and Eve, because Eve is the mother of all. God's word is true, and we can believe it. Let me share with you an illustration. I think I have somewhere here. I got a rope. Oh, here we go. Here it is. You know, when God created Adam and Eve, they had a wonderful relationship with God. Their relationship was beautiful. In fact, Scripture shares with us that they walked with God in the cool of the evening. But there came a day when Eve was tempted. Do you remember that serpent that came along and convinced her to partake of a fruit that God told her not to? The forbidden fruit, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And when they partook of that fruit and she gave to her husband, the Bible says that the whole world has become sinful. In fact, the Bible says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We ask, why 9/11? Why COVID-19? Because that's what we chose. We chose death. We chose to ignore God. And because of our sin, our relationship with God has been destroyed. So I'm going to take this rope here that once was whole, beautiful relationship with God, and I'm going to find the center of this rope, bring it on up here, and as we look at this rope here, I'm going to cut this rope in half just like this, because our relationship with God has been destroyed. So I'm going to, oh, this is hard to do. You know, I like ropes. So we're going to go ahead and cut this rope in half. Oh, man, that's so hard to do. I like ropes so much. We'll drop this side. And I'm going to take this rope here, and I'm going to tie it into a knot, just like this. Because, you see, our relationship with God has been severed. It has been destroyed. And because our relationship, with God has been destroyed, let me get that back up here. Never had that happen before. I tie it here like this. Get it there. All right. Bear with me a second. We'll get it in there. All right. Tie it in a nice tight knot. There we go. Our relationship with God has been severed, destroyed, cut in half. Look at that. And then I'm going to take this end here, tie this end into a knot too. In fact, I'm going to tie it into a square knot just like this. And there we go. Now I'm going to take this end, tie this end into a square knot too. There we go. Tie it into a nice knot. Just like that. Here we go.
And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut it in half two more times. I'm going to cut this one in half here. Oh, man. And I'm going to come over here and cut this one in half, too. Oh, dude. Oh, boy. Oh, that hurts. And there we have it. Three knots in the middle of my rope. Look at that. Oh, how tragic. What are we going to do now? But, you know, men, they look at their life and say, well, I can solve this myself. You know, I can fix this myself. How about if I go ahead and I'll just clean up my life a little bit. I'll trim away the rough edges. And I'll get rid of all these problems here. And, you know, I'll stop drinking and stop swearing. And I'll stop doing all those bad things that I know I'm not supposed to do. You know, and I'll stop drinking and chewing and going out with girls that do. I'll just really live a good life. But look at that. There's still three knots in this rope. All because of sin. You know, the Word of God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. God's Word shares with us that Eve was tricked into believing, boy, that fruit sure looks good. I think it's going to give me wisdom, and God's unfair. God's holding out on me. And she partook of that fruit, and no, she didn't die physically right there on the spot, but she died spiritually. She died spiritually, and because of it, the whole world is now born in sin. So many people think, well, can't I solve this problem myself? No, we can't. But God's Word tells us just how we can. How we can know for sure that when our eyes close in death, they're going to open again in the presence of God. So I need a helper here. Did you help me with this one before? Have you helped me with this before?
No.
Do you remember? No? No? Do you know how to blow out a candle? Do you know how to blow out a candle? Can you come up here? Come on up here. Stand up here. Don't step on the silks. There you go. Stand right there. And you know how to blow out a candle, right? So I'm going to come down here so you can see. Now, the Word of God says there's only one way that our destroyed life can be restored. Some people think, well, what about baptism? How about if I get baptized? Won't that solve my sin problem? No, no, because baptism is a picture of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. It's a picture of what I've already done, sharing with the world a decision I've already made to accept Christ. So the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So on the count of three, can you blow on that knot right there? Can you do that? One, two, three, blow. And there it goes. Just like that. Only God can restore what was broken and destroyed. Only God can do that. Okay, how about this one? You know, some people think, well, what about church membership? How about if I go ahead and I go ahead and become a part of a church and I live a good life and do all kinds of good deeds? No. No, again, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which I have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. So on the count of three, can you blow on that knot right there?
Yeah.
Can you do that? Okay, one, two, three, blow. And there it goes. Just like that. Only God can do that. Only he can set me free. Only he can restore that which was destroyed. And you know, there's other people that think, well, now wait a second. How about if I partake of communion? You know, if I go every week and I partake of communion, won't that forgive me of my sin and solve my sin problem? No, because remember, it's in remembrance of me. In remembrance of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So this is the hardest one. I mean, this one, the middle, no way, impossible, right? But Christ can do the impossible. On the count of three, one, two, three, are you ready? One, two, three, blow. And there it goes. There it goes. Restored back to whole. The question is, what have you done with Jesus? Have you trusted in him? How about a high five? You did a good job. You may be seated. Give her a hand. Yes, Noah was a man who chose to obey God. Noah's walk with God, Noah's work for God, and last of all, Noah's worthiness from God. God forgave Noah. Noah, by faith, believed his word to be true. So the question today is this. Do we believe God's word to be true? Do we believe that when God says, I will destroy sin, that means our sin?
We have a responsibility of what are we going to do with Christ? Are we going to trust in him? Are we going to look at God and say, no, I don't think God's going to do what he says he's going to do. The whole world believed that God isn't going to do what he says he's going to do. And they all died in the worldwide flood because they chose to rebel against God. Don't ignore his word. Don't choose to say, I'm not going to do what God says, because you're going to lose. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God today. And for Noah, a man who chose to do all that God commanded him to do. So did he. Oh, Father, I pray that for each and every Christian here today, that we'll certainly be burdened with the idea that we need to live for the Lord. We need to serve you and share with our friends and the world around us that there's coming doom. There's hatred towards sin, and God's going to do what he says he's going to do. We live in a world that has chose to rebel. They hate authority. They hate those who try to correct them. The Bible calls them fools. And oh, we see them all around the world today. They choose to ignore authority. They choose to be corrected. They hate those who correct them. And we see it in the world today. Father, I pray that we will not hate those who try to encourage us to live for what's right and to obey authority, moms and dads, police officers, pastors, all those that you have set before us to help us to live right and to do what's right in the world today. Father, I pray if there's one here that's not saved, one here that does not know Jesus as their Savior, that they'll trust Christ as their Savior today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, you know, God's speaking to my heart, I know I'm not saved, I know I'm not bound for heaven, but I want to trust Christ as my Savior today. Would you slip up your hand, and by doing so, you're saying, preacher, I really would like to talk to someone today. Would you introduce me to someone that can show me in God's word how I could be saved? I'll lead you to one of the ladies if you're a girl, or if you're a young man, we can talk to one of the men here today. It's the most important decision you can make in your whole life. Will you trust in Christ today? If you're here today, you're not sure. I'm not sure if I'm saved, but I want to know for sure. Will you speak to one of us? Find out from God's word how you can know without a shadow of a doubt. Oh, Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for each one who's here. But, Father, I do not know the hearts of all those who are here, but you do. And I pray that you'll allow the Holy Spirit to work in the hearts of those that aren't saved, that soon they'll make that decision, that they'll trust in Christ and ask him to forgive them of their sin, that they might spend eternity in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.